It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
So now we've moved from hockey to the NFL draft. So lots of sports happening this week. We got Mo Walters sticking around with us for the NFL draft. Chris Ford is nowhere to be found, so we'll see if he shows up. And we got Mr. Adam Fornwalt.
How you doing?
Best for last. How you doing? How you been?
I haven't
seen you in a while, man. What's going on?
We spend so much time during hockey, and then we get like this weird 2 month, like nothing. So it's going to be weird, but I'm losing my broadcast partner in Joe, and I'm losing my radio show / podcast partner in Denton.
All good things must come to an end.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do without you guys next semester.
You're going to hold things down, man.
I guess so. I'm going to have to. I hear Andrew Beamer is coming over to LFSN, so that
that's
be
the word on the street.
I don't know if am I going to be out on the streets here? Because Beamer coming in is... It's not good news.
It's hard to deny his Canadian accent.
I mean, look, I love Andrew Beamer. Don't get me wrong. He's a great guy, and I think he's going to be phenomenal on LFSN. But as is well known, I also have a position at LFSN doing what he does. Man. So we'll have to find out. But I'll only be here for a semester next year.
I don't know, man. We'll see what happens.
Are you just playing random clips? Is that how this is going?
No correlation.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I mean, it's coming, you know what I mean? So... NFL draft happened.
I like how you used the Kirk Cousins into the Justin Timberlake on the hockey segment. I heard that. No one picked that up.
Another one. This is like the only time I get to use these, so I'm leaving my wonderful
singers. You got to use them all before you go, so.
I wish... This isn't a system that tells me when I've already played one, so I just have to remember, and my memory's not great. So let's go to the NFL draft, shall we? So the NFL draft happened. I was in Las Vegas for part of it, but I was able to see the first round, and I was able to follow along because All Hail Philly founder Adam Fornwalt was keeping track with his mock draft and your draft grades, which I have pulled up. So tell us about All Hail Philly. Why don't you give yourself a plug with that?
Well, it's a new blog that I'm starting. It's going to be a lot of Philly-based content, and hopefully it'll get big one day. We're looking at probably like 30 looks at an article, which is nice. But
it's not bad.
How about Beyond the Philly?
What?
I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Maybe 11, but not a 10-foot pole.
All right. So we'll see if we get some...
I do the draft grade. Last year, I did put it on Beyond the Statistics, but this year, it's on All Hail Philly.
Awesome. So let's take a look at the NFL draft. You go through the first round is where we'll begin, and let's see what we had for pick number one. We do have some audio from that.
With the first pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns select Myles Garrett, defensive end.
Oh, so they're pretty happy about that. There we go. So here, let's set the scene a little bit. We'll just keep the boo track running. Boo, yeah! So, welcome to the 2017 NFL Draft, folks. Philly, and this was... How'd you feel about it being in Philly, Adam?
I loved it. I tried to get there. Unfortunately, just couldn't figure out a way to get there between that and classes and finals. But
what I loved, I was watching it, right? And they come out in day one. I don't know if you saw this, Mo. They come out and they go, yeah, you know, 70,000 people here. And then day two, they're like, man, there's 100,000 people here. And then, like... the fourth round, fifth round, they're like, there's 200,000 people there.
I think they were adding on to what they had already gotten
If we had gone to the 16th round, there would have been a million people in Philadelphia. It would have been crazy.
Philly broke all attendance records for the draft. The actually original draft was held in Philadelphia. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah, they mentioned it about six times an hour.
But they did a great job of... they did a great job of doing what Philly does best, and that's showing up for sporting events no matter what it is.
Yeah.
They support their teams, and they support good causes, and the NFL draft is something that Philly, I think, really needed to show what they were all about, and they've gotten a lot of bad press, a lot of bad rap the past couple of years. I actually just participated in an article on another Philly website about the snowball incident that Denton actually hooked me up with.
Shout out to my guy, Tim Kelly, best friend I've never met.
Tim Kelly hooked me up with that on his Philadelphia sports website, and it really just, you know, it was really good for Philly to get something like this, to really get the ball rolling, because 2025, they're coming for all sorts of stuff.
There you go. So okay. Let's take a look a little bit into the draft. So pick one, Myles Garrett. This is something that was predicted, I believe. Did you have this predicted?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the four or five that I got right.
Okay. There you go. So just give us a little dissection on pick one here, graded a 7.6 on NFL.com. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, Myles Garrett is definitely, he was a great college player. I don't want to say I'm skeptical on him. I'm still just not sure how high his ceiling is going to be.
I'm skeptical on him.
there were some issues in the draft as to, you know, his work ethic and stuff like that. So hopefully, you know, it works out well for him. But, you know, I think attitude might just be something he needs to work on a little bit.
He reminded me very much of a poor man's Von Miller, obviously coming from the same school. I think there's a lot of comparisons between the two. All the intangibles are there. The questions of whether or not he took plays off have been coming in the past couple of weeks or so. Warren Sapp really kind of leading the way with that. Cleveland had a nice draft. Whether or not Garrett pans out or not, they really have three players here that I think can make a difference. In Jabril Peppers and Njoku at tight end, they released Jordan Cameron after the draft. So to have... Barnage after the draft. Jordan Cameron used to play for Cleveland, but Njoku is a nice pickup there at the back half of the draft. He only had to give up a second and a fourth, and they ended up trading back from 12 to 25 to get Peppers and got a first next year. So really, you couldn't do any wrong if you're Cleveland, and they ended up getting more talent as the night went on and as the draft went on.
All right, so let's see here. Cleveland Browns on your... Oh, you gave him an A.
They got an A from me. Not an A plus, but an A.
I would say that, and that's the problem is this happens a lot with Cleveland. If you remember, they got Joe Thomas and Brady Quinn in the same draft back a million years ago, but it was always like a we'll wait and see kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm skeptical about this, but they get not one, not two, not... or. Day three, right?
Yeah.
Three picks. I was going to go four, but they got three in the first round.
When you look at day two, they reached on DeShone Kizer. I mean, he, where some of the quarterbacks fell later on in the draft, they really liked him, but he's not a second round talent. He was getting a lot of third and fourth round grades from people. I don't think he's as good as they think he is. He really struggled at Notre Dame to establish himself. I believe he's a junior, so he could have used another year. But for him being there where he was, I think they had to take him. It's just the value at the market where they were at.
All right, so let's move on because we talked a little bit about the Cleveland Browns. That was pick number one, and then the other picks that they had. Oh, and your boy Peppers. Were you able to talk to him, Mo, because you personally know Jabril Peppers. Were you able to talk to him about where he was going and how he was feeling about that?
I wasn't able to reach out to him, but I'm glad he landed in Cleveland, and hopefully he knows.
Do you think that's
going to
be a good fit
there
for him?
I think time will tell. It just matters how the defensive coordinator is going to use him. He obviously is a very versatile player, but they just have to use his strengths to his advantage.
All right, let's move on to pick number two, and that came from the San Francisco. Oh, just kidding. Chicago Bears trade up, and this is who they get.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
So Mitch Trubisky going the first overall quarterback, the second overall pick. Adam, you gave it a D. You don't like Mitch Trubisky.
You know what, Joe? It's not that I don't like Mitch Trubisky. It's that I don't like where he ended up. This pick for the Bears, it made zero sense. You signed Glennon to that big contract, and essentially you're paying for a rookie backup. It just doesn't make sense to me. They gave up way too much to go up one selection and to get a guy that they really hadn't had any talk with before the draft. They kept it very quiet, very secretive. Mike Glennon didn't even know. There was a story that Glennon got invited to the draft party, and he didn't even know they were taking a quarterback in the first round. And there was no way that San Francisco was going to take him. I know that there was talks that other teams are going to move up to that spot, but the fact of the matter is the Bears did it, and they gave up way too much to get a guy that we just don't know what he's going to be. 13 starts at the college level. It's just not enough. It's not enough of a test to really see. I'm not particularly down on him like some people are, but I just don't think this spot is a good spot for him.
What do you think, Mo?
I'll have to agree. I was just going to talk about my Giants for a little bit. I'm pretty impressed Wayne Gallman. I think that's really a steal. He was a great weapon for Deshaun Watson at Clemson. I'm surprised he fell to the fourth round. Rashad Jennings, he got released earlier last year, so I think that'll be a great pickup for the Giants.
Okay, so Giants... Adam, you gave him a C-plus with Evan Engram.
Yeah, again, I think this was another reach. There was Njoku, I believe, was still around at that time, the tight end from Miami. They went and get a tight end from Ole Miss. Not necessarily in need, but not something that, you know, it was something that they were looking to fill. You give Eli Manning, get another weapon. It was an okay pick. Just I think that they had other needs there. Not necessarily on the offensive side of the ball, maybe looking somewhere on defense with that pick. And there was a lot of talent left at that time. Reuben Foster was available and others. I just think this was a little bit of a reach.
All right. So in looking at your – and I'll use it as a model because it's there. It's a nice little package of the draft grades that you have. And so looking, give a lot of A's out. You gave one A-plus, and that is to John Lynch's San Francisco 49ers, who trade back one spot. They get Solomon Thomas from Stanford. They get a third and fourth in the 2017 and third in 2018. And then they trade back
into the first round.
Yep. And they get Reuben Foster. So this is somebody that people were a little edgy about, but you could have seen him go in the top 10 before this past week.
Yeah, you could have, and you know, there was a lot of talk about whether or not he would drop into the second round. And the fact of the matter is, if the Niners would have waited, he probably would have gone with that first pick on day two. Somebody would have traded up to go get him, and they would have had to have given up probably a lot more than they gave up here. Only a second, they gave up their second, which is basically was a first, and then they give up a fourth, which they already got an extra one from the Bears. So for them to move up and get Foster, a guy who was graded as a top 10, top 15 talent, Denton, you and I talked about that a little bit. You know, for him to fall there, I think, is a good spot. And Solomon Thomas, while I'm not necessarily, you know, in love with the pick there at three, I think you could have gotten a Jamal Adams, who I was a little bit higher on, a ladder more,
hey,
potentially.
Jamal Adams.
And I think Jamal Adams is the player that Lynch kind of wanted. Yeah, I hear you with the Jets.
J-E-T-E, right?
J-E-T-E.
That's right, J-E-T-E.
My boy Tony Richardson.
Auburn
forgot
education.
How to spell.
That's right.
But that doesn't help CTE research.
But Solomon Thomas is a good player, and he's a smart kid, and I think he's going to do well for the Niners.
All right, your thoughts on the Foster pick, Mo?
San Francisco got a great pick. I think the reason he dropped so much was because the whole diluted sample thing.
How much do you think that should be? And the same thing happened with Jabril Peppers.
Right.
He might have dropped a little bit as
mm-hmm.
well. When you're a week out, you've already seen the combine. You've seen pro days. That's all happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out a couple of days before. How much do you think that should be weighed by teams who really want a good upstanding in their players?
I think you have to handle every single situation with care. Not every single situation is the same. From what I know, Jabril was on the plane drinking too much water. I remember in high school he had a lot of cramping problems and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I know from that situation. About Reuben Foster, I really don't know too much about the situation, but I want to trust that it was something similar along the lines of that.
Oh, what do you think, Adam?
Well, really all that happened to him is, I believe it was, a diluted test sample,
yeah,
which in the end just puts him into the program to get tested more. So it's not necessarily something that's going to cause him trouble right away. But I think he'll be fine, and if he can get that situated, he'll be good to go.
All right. So what was kind of the one thing, I don't know if we missed anything, that stuck out in the NFL draft, Adam, but with your draft, was there one shining moment that stuck out, especially in the first round, or maybe beyond the first round? I know we didn't mention too much about that.
Well, I think as far as the later rounds went, everybody kind of just fell where you thought they would. In the first round, the Kansas City really hadn't talked about going up to get a quarterback. Andy Reid has done a nice job with quarterbacks in the past,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially in Philadelphia, kind of flipping a guy like Nick Foles and others. Patrick Mahomes going there in the first round, while I think it's a little bit high at 10, that's where he was kind of projected to go to the Cardinals. I trust Andy Reid's eye for quarterback, you know, not necessarily for winning championships, but certainly for quarterback. And then, look, the Buccaneers got a really great value with O.J. Howard falling to them at 19, I believe. I gave that an A as well. I just think that was a great value pick for them, a guy that probably was a top five talent in this draft. But because he plays tight end, he fell that far. A great move. And then, look, you got to talk about Tock as well, bringing his grandmother onto the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And then potentially getting his first NFL fine for cursing on air, but they're not going to find him because he was just passionate. And look, I like the Falcons pick as well. They needed defensive help, and Tock's going to bring that.
All right. So, you know, it's always good when you hear this noise.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Certainly
is. About it.
Almost as good as this. Yeah, we'll get to that.